And we look at today at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 is where we're going to be camping. And we're looking at suffering and who we are as part of the message of suffering in 1 Peter. And the first chapter mainly deals with that subject of Peter is using the identity of who the saints are as a encouragement to us in going through difficulties, going through suffering. We said, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, that we're those that are chosen of God. And then we're begotten of God unto a lively hope in verse 3. Verse 4 and 5, we're begotten unto an inheritance. And then verses 6 through 9, we looked at how that we're people of a joyful perspective. The saints have got to be a people of a joyful perspective. Well, today, want to look at the fact that we are New Testament saints. And we think about New Testament saints, we don't mean in some odd way where that we're hyper-dispensationalists or something like that, where we believe that God has different ways of salvation through history and such as this. We believe that there's one way of salvation, and it's always been through the grace of God, through faith in the Messiah. And even in Old Testament times, they were looking forward to the Messiah who was to come, and we're looking back to him. But the fact of the matter is, though, that as the saints of God, there are some distinct advantages to being New Testament saints. The book of Hebrews tells a whole lot about that. Makes the point that that the new covenant is a better covenant than the old. And but as well, here Peter makes a point about that as he's dealing with he talks about the prophets and even talks about the angels here, and the fact that there is a sense in which that as God's people that we have been blessed with a revelation that's greater than and more than was received by the prophets of old, and more than what is even received by the angels today. And so we'll think about that a little bit as we look to the scripture here. And we're going to see, as New Testament saints, that there's a superior revelation, that the Holy Spirit plays a role in this. And then we'll just think about a little bit about Peter's conclusion here and how Peter concludes this. But we're thinking about the fact that, okay, being New Testament saints is an encouragement, and how that it can be an encouragement to us to go through whatever the Lord has for us in our lives in terms of affliction, in terms of difficulties and trials. So first of all, let's just read these three verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And the word says here, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." And so we'll think about this, and then in the next phrase, I will read the first part of verse 13 just as a context where he's going. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." So he's using what he just said here in verses 10 through 12 to encourage them to gird up the loins of their mind. What does that mean? That means he's saying, okay, so a person puts on a girdle that was a means of preparing them, tying it up and tighten everything up so that they can run freely, so that they can do battle, so that they're freed up to for motion, for movement, for service, for doing. And he said, hey, let's make sure and gird up the loins of our mind. In other words, gird up our mind. Our mind is what is needing to be gird up and fixed so that it's in such a way that it is prepared, it's useful, it's ready, it's not being distracted, it's not got something to stumbling over all the time, but rather that we're focused and that we're attentive and that we have a plan, have a purpose in our lives. So, but being New Testament saints he speaks of here. Well, first of all, just looking at this passage, let's think about that, this first part. They starts talking about the prophets and how the prophets are inferior to us in terms of revelation. Now think about that. Of which salvation, he talks about the salvation that we have, receiving the end of your faith, verse 9, even the salvation of your souls. He says, of which salvation that we have, salvation by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. He said, okay, we're going to look back. Look back at the prophets of old, and they have inquired and they have searched diligently. They're trying to look at the other scriptures, and they're also listening and heeding the Lord, and they're inquiring of God for direction and for guidance and for knowledge about the future for the prophecy, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He says, there's a certain kind of grace that has come unto you, Peter says, to the saints of God who are suffering at that time, to whom he's writing this letter. And he says, you know, you've got something that they didn't have. You've got something that they didn't understand. They are looking and they're inquiring and they're searching diligently as they are prophesying about things that you are going to have a better understanding of. He says, hey, you're going to be the ones that he's prophesying, that they were prophesying about, that the prophets were even prophesying about. Searching what, continuing here in verse number 11, talking about the prophets, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. So either searching what the Spirit was signifying or when it was going to happen, when the things were going to happen. The prophets could only see so much, and they couldn't. There was a mystery in the prophecies that were given that were talking about the sufferings of Christ, that were vaguely talking about the Messiah that was to come, and that prophet that would be like Moses, and such as that. And they're different prophecies, and we can look back at them, and we can see all these prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures and how they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and perfectly, wonderfully fulfilled in the person of Christ. But the prophets didn't see that. The prophets didn't understand all of the messianic sense, in every case, the messianic sense of each of the different prophecies and whether or not that when that would happen, when the Messiah, as they might see him in different aspects, of in different revelations of the prophecies, when he was coming, they didn't see that. They didn't understand a lot of things. There were a lot of things that were just a mystery to them that we know. And that Peter is saying that you folks understand. You've seen it. I mean, it's history now for you, for the manner in which Christ Jesus came and what he did. And so he says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them, so the Holy Spirit was in them, and he was giving them the word, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So we find here that there's this sense in which that New Testament saints have got a better revelation than the prophets. In verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, and of course they at least they were told this, that that it's not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look at. And he said, you know, they, at least they knew that, and they were told that that when they were ministering, that it wasn't really just, it wasn't always just for their generation. Some of the things they said were mysteries, and nobody around them could understand them, and they couldn't understand them themselves, but they were given some peace about the fact that, hey, some of this is for future. Some of this is for people in the future, for saints in the future. And so they understood that. They perceived that. What's all this saying? It's just saying in verses, basically in verses 10 through 11 and 12 here, that New Testament saints are superior in revelation to the prophets. We know more. We know what Christ has done. And what's the argument there? The prophets suffered a lot. The prophets went through a lot of trouble, and God's grace sustained them. The prophets went through a whole lot of persecution, physical harm, all kinds of problems as a result of the persecution, all kinds of problems sometimes as a result of the safety of trying to keep their families safe and such as this. All kinds of difficulties that God saw them through. Trials sometimes when they're going through great famines in which they had no provision whatsoever. And they're just like, well, is the Lord going to provide? And he says, hey, Elijah, go down to the brook, Kidron, and the ravens are going to come and they're going to feed you. And oh, there's this little old lady that she's got a son, and her and her son are going to take care of you for a while, you know. And all she had is just a little bit in a meal barrel and a little oil. Cruise oil is left over to cook one more cake, you know, for the family, a little piece of bread for the family, and that's going to be it for them. They're going to die. God's going to provide for you, going to take care of you. He did it in the face of all kinds of hardships that the prophets faced. The prophets faced tremendous difficulties and hardships. But they didn't have what we have. They didn't have a full and complete revelation of Jesus Christ. They had a part of it. They had bits and pieces, and they were looking forward, and they didn't even understand when this was going to happen, and they didn't understand exactly what was going to happen. They didn't know that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross of Calvary to deliver them from their sins, but they knew that the Messiah was going to come, and they knew that there was going to be suffering on the part of the Messiah, and Isaiah 53 said a whole lot, but they didn't even fully understand Isaiah 53. So there's a lot of things that the prophets of old trusted the Lord, trusted in Him, trusted in what He was going to accomplish for them and bringing them deliverance from sin, but there was a lot of things that Peter's saying, you folks have got it a lot better than they had. You got more assurance and should have more peace than they did, and yet they suffered and continued to suffer and did the Lord's will and could trust. They, by faith, Hebrews says over and over again that they did what they did by faith. They're trusting in God. They believed God. And so as God's people, can we trust God? Can we depend on Him? Can we lean upon Him? And we should be able to. Peter seems to make the argument here that who you are, being a saint of God and being a saint of God in New Testament time, is an argument that you ought to be able, that we ought to be able to suffer more, that we ought to be able to endure. So verse 12 then says, he even says at the end of verse number 12, doesn't he say that they even have a better understanding than the angels? There's other verses of Scripture that tell us this same thing, this same truth. It's a mystery to me. It's intriguing to me to think that the holy angels of God, who are in His presence all the time, that we have been given understanding as it pertains to the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it pertains to the death of Christ for sinners such as we are, and how that His mercy extends to us, and how that His grace is sufficient for us to change us, to cause us to be drawn to Him, and to, out of His love for us, we love Him, and we come to this understanding and to this experience of being saved, being justified, things that the angels desire to look into, but they don't even fully understand themselves. And we say, verse 12 seems to talk about that. He says, this gospel, preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, the folks that are now preaching the gospel to you, Peter and others, they're preaching the gospel. Maybe Paul had preached to them the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Again, saying that, you know, our understanding and our perception of things and our perception of who we are through Jesus Christ is a wonderful revelation that we have that is to be an encouragement to us in going through difficulty. Verse 11, go back to verse 11 and look at it. And I want to think about for a moment, okay, we think about the fact that we're supposed to be superior in revelation to the prophets and superior in revelation to the angels, which seems like these verses are saying. But I want to look at the Holy Ghost's role, the Holy Spirit's role. In verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Now, Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he's even referred to here, was in the prophets. The prophets were prophesying, and it says that the Holy Ghost, which was in them, signified when it testified before the sufferings of Christ. So in other words, the Holy Spirit was guiding them along and giving them a perception and an understanding and giving them the words to write the testimony concerning the future as it related to the gospel, as it related to Jesus Christ. And so they spoke things that we read as messianic prophecies. We see those prophecies all through the Old Testament prophets. And we see that it relates very closely to gospel truth, and it is perfectly fulfilled. All of the messianic prophecies perfectly fulfilled tell us exactly what Jesus did and what he would do and what he, all kinds of things about his suffering. And the prophets testifying this gospel truth, the Holy Spirit, instrumental, giving it to them. And he's saying now, you know, that same Holy Spirit that was the Spirit, he wasn't just the Spirit of God, he's the Spirit of Christ. He's the same Spirit that you guys have heard and has given you an enablement to understand the things of Christ. And so he's saying in verse number 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. By them that have preached the gospel. So now, New Testament preachers are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from Old Testament scriptures, from the Old Testament, from the prophets, and saying, hey, this is what is being said. Why? Because they're preaching the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He's guiding them along. He's guiding us along as the saints and as preaching of the preaching of the word, to perceive, as the Spirit's given us understanding, to perceive gospel truth and to be able to declare that gospel truth that we would have a greater understanding of it. And he said, hey, that's the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that worked among the prophets is working today. The same Spirit that was giving them the message of Christ way back then is enabling us and giving us the fruit of that message through the gospel and in the salvation that we appreciate and that we enjoy as God's people. And the Holy Spirit is still instrumental in that. It's the same Spirit. And so What does it say? Well, it says, what's Peter saying ultimately? Well, this superior revelation that we have been given, it enables superior patience and endurance. It enables something. Now, the fact that the revelation is there, knowing something, we all know, just knowing something doesn't necessarily make me any better than I was yesterday because I know something. We all know that just knowledge doesn't necessarily change me fundamentally. It doesn't change the way I look at things, the way I view things all the time. But what we see, though, I believe, is that our ability to move in the right direction as the Holy Spirit is guiding us along, that He can give us that strength and that the Lord can give us that grace to endure and to be patient and to do what He has to do in tribulation and difficulties and trials. And so, while Peter is making it pretty clear that there's an advantage to being a New Testament saint here versus being a prophet or being an angel, yet at the same time, we need to understand that we are this truth and the reality of this revelation, the greater revelation we have, should just move us to God. It should cause us to trust God more. It should cause us to trust and to know that God can do things, and that He's wise enough to do things in our lives, and that He is good enough to be trusted, that we can depend on Him. And so it doesn't make you depend on Him, but it does give us reason and gives us the ability and the very logic to depend upon Him. And so considering Peter's conclusion, what's he saying? Verse number 13. So what's he, this is all about your mind. This is about what you know and what you understand as a child of God. And he's saying, hey, you've got a better understanding than the Old Testament prophets had. And you've got a better understanding even than the angels have in some of this. And so, gird up the loins of your mind, verse 13 says. So, something has to be done with your mind. And in your mind sometimes is just scattered. I mean, we can be, some people call people scatterbrain. And I know for a fact that I represent that. I can be very scatterbrain. I got too many things on the plate. I mean, sometimes I do have so many things on the plate that I'm worried about, that my mind is going through and trying to process all these different things. And you know, one of the best things that they say that you can do as a manager that has to manage a whole lot of stuff is have a clean desk all the time. That's what they tell you. They tell you to have a clean desk and have one piece of paper on the desk. Or have your computer screen up, and that's the only thing. You got one thing you're working on, and you block everything else out, and this is what you're concerned about. This is the priority. This is the thing you need to get done. Because there's 100 other things that you can worry about, and all that it's going to do is cause you to be scatterbrained. All it's going to do is cause you, as a child of God, when you're worried about 1,000 different things, and you got all these things that it could be, or that it might be, or that something else, you got all these things that are bothering us, and that cause us stress, and that cause us difficulty and trials and troubles. Gird up the loins of your mind, Peter is saying. Gird it up. He says, look, you can't do everything. You can't worry about everything at once. You won't be able to process that. So gird up the loins of your mind. Prioritize it. Know, you know, as a child of God, what does the Lord want me to worry about? What does the Lord want me to be concerned about? How would He have me to process all the things that are happening in my life right now? What would His priorities be? Where would He want me to start? What things would He want me? What are the things that maybe He might tell me, quit worrying about those things? Put them off the plate. There's certain things. There's another management method, and that is A, B, and C. You're prioritizing your list, and you say, okay, I got all these thousand things I got to get done. Well, which ones are the A's, and which ones are the B's, which ones are the C's? You say, okay, here's the A's, here's the B's, here's the C's. And the A's are up here, and there's only a couple of them, two or three of them, and there's 1,400 B's, and there's thousands and thousands of C's. Might not be that bad. Smaller quantities. But just to say this, all those C's, forget them. They're never going to be done. Might as well just drop them off the list completely because you're never going to get to them. You got all these, you got 1,200 B's. Okay, so how many of the B's are you going to get done? Well, you're probably not going to get many of those done either. So why do we get all distressed because of the volume of what the Lord has put on our plate, or what the Lord has put on in our life to worry about? Why don't we worry about the things He wants us to worry about? Why don't we prioritize and say, you know what? Really, I get worried about, I get stressed out about some things that, you know, that are just not even worth worrying about. And so get them off the list. Quit worrying about everything. So Peter concludes here, gird up the loins of your mind. Look with me to chapter 2 and verse number 2 of this same letter. Chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He says, act like newborn babies. Sometimes we look at this and we think, you know, it's a shame for us to be babies. But I think what Peter is saying here is act like babies. And he says, be like the newborn babes. As newborn babes, here's what you need to be doing. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He says, you know what? There's some things in the word of God that are just fundamental things that are help us gird up our mind. That'll help us to better understand, because he said that we might grow, in our knowledge, our understanding, that our minds would be clearer to focus on the things that matter. Look with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. And there the scripture says to us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where does Peter say that the Lord would focus our attention as far as our minds are concerned? Where does he want us to get our minds? He wants us to get our minds on him, ultimately. Focus on him. Where does he want us as his people as it pertains to the important things in life? What are my important responsibilities as God, as one of the Lord's people? And what are the things that really I need to be worrying about? Spiritual things. I mean, things that are the really big things, the important things in our lives are things that relate to our spiritual condition before God, our fellowship with God. The Lord said, you know, not to seek all the things concerning this life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, and all these things will be added to you. What's he say is going to happen? He says, what's going to happen is that all the things you've been worrying about, they'll kind of take care of themselves. I don't mean that they will, but God will take care of them. Because we're trusting in the God that can do all of those things, that can take care of all of those things we worry about, whenever we're focused on the right things. We're focused on him and on what he would have us to do as his people. And so looking at the scripture, I believe here in 1 Peter, there's an encouraging word to us that says more so even than Old Testament saints, And the prophets, and more so than even the angels can do, you can gird up the loins of your mind. You can gird up the loins of your mind as a child of God, and we can more clearly process what it is that's our affliction that the Lord has for us, and we as the saints of God should be able to perceive. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. But gird up the loins of your mind as the Lord's people. Realize that your mind someone says, you know, that a mind's a terrible thing to waste. It is. In a sense, it's a terrible thing to waste. And we waste it whenever we got a thousand things on the plate and all they do is just cause us stress. All they do is cause us to get down. And by God's grace, may we have a few things. Okay, you're going to worry about a whole lot of things? Just make them just a few. Cut the number a little bit. That's called girding up the loins of our mind. Just reduce it a little bit. Don't make it everything. Don't be concerned about every single thing and be so uptight about every single thing in our lives. But rather, be concerned about the big things. Yeah, there's several big things. But let's focus on those. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity you give us to open your word and to think upon this very principle that you've given to us here, of how that with the revelation that we've been given, that we can be a people, Lord, who can gird up the loins of our mind, that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of truth, that we can be like newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the word, getting to the basics of what the important things are in our lives. And we just pray for your blessings, your grace, that you'd help us to honor you, to give glory and honor to your name, and help us, Lord, as your people, to be filled with clarity of thought and to be at peace, Lord, in our lives with all the difficulties and the trials. Relieve us, Lord, of the things that cause us as your people to be so burdened down. And lift us up, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us grace. Encourage us by your grace, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.